I'm sure I can guess why you've returned.
Tafari frowned. How can you guess?
Why, for the widow's seance. Do I not hit upon it?
Tafari said nothing for a moment, still frowning. Then he said, with a tone of suspicion,
What is a seance?
Lerventhal chuckled. He put down his composing stick, crossed the room, and took up Saturday's paper from where it lay folded on the side of the washstand.
Here, he said.
He unfolded it to the second page, tapped an advertisement with his ink-stained finger, and passed the paper to Tafari.
You ought to come along. Not to the seance itself. You need a special ticket for that. But to the party beforehand.
The advertisement ran over two columns. It had been printed in a bold 18-point type that Lerventhal typically reserved for mastheads and historic headlines only, and it was bordered thickly in black. The Wayfarer's Fortune, owned and operated by Mrs. Lydia Wells, late of the city of Dunedin, widow to Crosby, was to open to the public for the first time that very evening. In honour of this occasion, Mrs. Wells, a celebrated medium, would condescend to host Hokitika's inaugural seance. This seance would be restricted to an elite audience, with tickets allocated according to the principle first to come, first to be served. The occasion would be prefaced, however, by an evening of drinks and speculation, open to the discerning public, who was encouraged collectively to come with an open mind. This last injunction was perhaps easier said than done, for as the paper had it, the purpose of the seance was to locate, via the extraordinarily sensitive instrument of Mrs. Wells herself, certain tremors of spirit, the investigation of which would open a channel between this realm and the next, and thereby establish some kind of a rapport with the dead. Within the broad category of the dead, Mrs. Wells had been both excessively particular and excessively confident in making her selection. She planned to summon the shade of Mr. Emery Staines, who had not yet returned to Hokitika, and whose body, after 5 weeks of absence, had not yet been found. The widow had not made clear what she planned to ask the shade of Mr. Staines, but it was universally assumed that if nothing else, she would surely request to know the manner of his death. Any medium worth her salt will tell you that a spirit who has been murdered is far more loquacious than a spirit who has left this world in peace, and Lydia Wells, we need hardly remark, was worth every grain of hers.
"What is a seance?" said Tafari again.
"It is a piece of utter foolishness," said Lerventhal cheerfully. Lydia Wells has announced to all of Hokitika that she is going to commune with the spirit of Emery Staines, and more than half of Hokitika has taken her at her word. The seance itself is just a performance. She will go into a trance, as though she's having a fit or a seizure, and then she'll say a few words in a man's voice, or make the curtains move in some unexpected fashion, or pay a boy a penny to climb up the chimney and call down the pipe. It's a piece of cheap theatre. Of course, every man will go home believing he's made contact with a ghost. Where did you say you've been?
Mafira, said Tafari. Greymouth.
He was still frowning at the paper.
No word of Mr. Staines up there, I suppose.
No.
Nor here. We're rather losing hope, I'm sorry to say. But perhaps we'll get a clue of some kind this evening. The real cause for suspicion, you see, is Mrs. Wells' certainty that Mr. Staines really is dead. If she knows that much, then what else does she know? And how does she know it? Oh, tongues have been wagging, Mr. Tafari, this fortnight past. I wouldn't miss this party for the world. How I wish that I'd got my hands on a ticket.
For the widow had chosen to limit her seance to only 7 souls, 7 being a number of magical illusion possessed of a darkly mysterious ring. And Löwenthal, arriving at the wayfarer's fortune some 15 minutes before 9 in the morning, discovered to his immense regret that these 7 places had already been filled. Of the Crown men, only Charlie Frost and Harold Nilsson had been successful in securing a ticket. Löwenthal, along with scores of other disappointed men, would have to content himself with attending the preliminary drinks and speculation, and leaving before the seance was officially conducted. He attempted to buy a ticket at double price from one of the lucky 7, but to no avail. Frost and Nilsson both refused his offer outright, though Nilsson promised to describe the event in a high degree of detail after the fact, and Frost suggested that Löwenthal might like to assist him in developing a strategy of reconnaissance beforehand.
"It'll be 3 shillings on the door," Löwenthal supplied,
in case Tafari could not read and was disguising his lack of ability.
3 shillings,
Tafari said, glancing up. That was an extraordinary sum for one evening's entertainment.
"What for?"
Löwenthal shrugged.
"She knows that she can charge what she likes, and she's going to do just that. It might pay for your brandy if you drink quick enough. She's doing bottomless cups, you see, not drink for drink. But you're right, it's a robbery. Of course, every second man is champing at the bit to get a word with Anna. She's the real attraction, the real draw. You know, she's barely been seen beyond the wayfarer's front door in 3 weeks. Goodness only knows what's been happening inside."
"I wish to place a notice in your paper," Tafari said.
He tossed the paper down onto the desk somewhat rudely, so that it skidded over Löwenthal's form.
"Certainly,"
said Löwenthal, with disapproval. He reached for his pencil.
"Do you have an advertisement prepared?"
"Maori guide. Very experienced. Fluent in English. Locally knowledgeable. Offers services to surveyors, diggers, explorers, and the like. Success and safety guaranteed."
"Surveyors, diggers, explorers," repeated Löwenthal as he wrote. "Success and safety. Yes, very good. And then I'll put your name, shall I?"
"Yes."
"I need an address as well. Are you stopping off in town?"
Tafari hesitated. He had planned to return to the Arahura Valley that night, and spend the night in Crosby Wells' deserted cottage. He did not wish to disclose this fact to Löwenthal, however, given Löwenthal's close acquaintance with Edgar Clinch,